from Hockey Night in Canada. And Rogers' hometown hockey, he's a BC boy this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Ron McLean and Salmon Arm, my friend.
Yeah, really looking forward. I went there 40 years ago. It was the first time I houseboated, and we did it this past summer. It's a feature that we'll run on the show, but so many fond memories. It's funny, the boats are like Taj Mahals now. They're way larger than they were back in 1980, the first time I went. But it's going to be a great show. It's International Women's Day, so we have an all-female cast calling the game and doing the telecast. Billie Jean King, we interviewed Billie Jean in New York about 10 days ago, and that'll be on the show, so be nice.
Man. You know what? Here's my best houseboat story. We went there when I went to Radio Intelligent Arts and Nate. So that was our smart move by the company, Three Boys Houseboat. I don't know if they're still there, Ron. Are they?
Yes.
Three Boys?
They are.
I remember that was in the 80s. They were all the rage.
So
right?
they get these graduate students from Radio Intelligent Arts, led by their instructors, to go, can you come and do a video for us? So you get a free promotional video. I was smart enough on the bus ride down with Eugene Principe, who was a classmate of mine, to go, hey, we need someone to drive one of the boats, right? Rather than work, give me a boat. And the dean of the class throws me the keys when we get there. He goes, there, Selkowski, you're in charge of the boat.
It's such a, you know, it's funny. We went summer after summer for years. I think Three Boys is still there. Twin Anchors is who we go out with. But we would get 1 week where it would be totally rainy, and then 1 week was just stellar. But we seemed to hit one of or the other. And what we would do is we would always rent two boats. We would go with 14 people, and we would divide into groups of three. And you could never have your girlfriend or your boyfriend. It had to be different people in the group. And then you would have 1 day of cooking and 1 day of cleaning, and the other 5 days you took off. So it was a really great experience every summer, and you know, it still is.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was
very Western
family member.
Too,
well, you know, it's funny. Like, we did the Thousand Islands years ago as a kid with the family, and got stuck in Alexandra Bay, which was like Thousand Islands. You kind of get stuck right kind of the Canada-U.S. border. And everybody watched us struggle as the canoe blew off in a storm from the houseboat underneath the motor. And like, okay, how are these Canadians going to figure this one out? Ron, how are the Canucks going to figure this one out against an Avalanche team? You know, you talk about all the injuries with the Canucks, but, you know, Colorado's, there's, you know, Makar's been banged up lately. Rantanen's out indefinitely. You know, no Kadri right now. They've got, you know, Francouz, who's kind of holding the fort for them between the pipes, and they're still winning games.
Well, they just have such talent, right? They're a elite team, and actually one of the favorites to come out of the West. There's no doubt about it. So it's a big challenge for Vancouver tonight. I think, you know, it's really weird, these meltdowns. I think, you know, Troy Stetcher, obviously he's been targeted a little bit, and maybe he's banged up. Obviously they've gotten injuries right through, it seems. Quinn Hughes was rocked in Columbus by Venberg got him, and Tyler Myers obviously battling illness. But I thought maybe Troy's been affected by the trade talk, and maybe it reminds me of back when Tomas Cabrelle was Toronto's best defenseman, and they brought in Brian Leetch, and it seemed to affect Cabrelle's confidence. And I think Troy's just battled a little bit. Maybe he's hurt, but he battled the other night, and either they'll rest him, or I don't know if you've heard, have they said what they're going to do with Stetcher tonight?
No, I don't think he'll be in the lineup. He's just, you know, a lot of it is some bad luck. It's funny,
totally.
You know, as Travis Green has said, they've played some pretty decent hockey, even going back to Toronto last Saturday. It's just not a whole bunch of puck luck. And then mistakes, as you know, Ron, are amplified, especially at this time of year. And that's been the case for the Canucks.
I do agree. There's been some really weird bounces on several of the goals. I thought it was bad penalties. Funny, we had one of the children on the three-star selection on Rogers' hometown hockey last Sunday. He identified those penalties. Sutter and Roussel got tripping minors late in the game, and that really hurt. But, you know, they have looked good in many areas. And obviously everybody's pointing to the fact Markstrom's out, and he was maybe making those saves when they got hammered in November by Pittsburgh. It wasn't Markstrom and net six third-period goals. But you're right, a lot of bad luck, and I did think Troy was just a little off his game on the show Wednesday night. But he's a good defenseman. He's, you know, Quinn Hughes has come in, and he's become the new go-to guy, so I think that might have affected him in all the trade talk. But they should be fine. This is a game in hand. They, you know, they've got 16 games remaining, so that's a bit of a break that they have, or a cushion. I wouldn't panic just yet.
You look around the league right now, and it's funny how at this time of the season, you know, we were talking about this last week, how, you know, the Senators kind of pull the upset dog last week on Vancouver, but we're kind of seeing it all across the league right now, right? It's, you know, it was Pittsburgh having a whale of a time in California. You know, when they were losing six straight games, they couldn't beat any of the bottom feeding teams in California. You know, the Leafs right now, they're going through California. And, I mean, there's L.A. playing spoiler for a team that's still trying to solidify their playoff spot, right? They get spanked by San Jose a couple of nights ago as well. We're seeing it more and more that these teams that are, quote-unquote, playing out the string are still deadly out in the National Hockey League.
That's always been the case. I remember the Hartford Whalers used to be, you know, so hard to play in March because they were out of it and guys are playing for contracts. So, you know, that's a age-old problem is when you have a team that's kind of loose, or in the case of some of the elite players playing for contracts, you know, they can single-handedly beat you at this stage of the season. So you can't ever take it for granted that you look at the schedule and say, good, that's a gimme. Just doesn't happen this time of the year.
Are you surprised that Minnesota, when, you know, trade deadline, you go buyers, sellers, they start moving guys that they've somehow hung around and now actually have gone past the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, I am. For sure I'm surprised. And, you know, when Vancouver had the win streak, I thought they were home and cooled. I really did. And I still think they're going to get in. But it's just, you know, there's so many teams that are, you know, catching fire and surprising. Right now, I think the last I saw, the Philadelphia Flyers are favored to go to the Stanley Cup against Vegas. That's the matchup, and who'd have thought that? But Alain Vigneault, everybody's very familiar with what he can do, and they look like a playoff-built team. They're a great surprise, and maybe, you know, no longer a dark horse because of the streak they're on, but that's just a good example of how fast things can change, and it's happened both ways for a lot of teams this season.
Ron McLean here on Sportsnet 650, and this weekend, Roberto Luongo gets his jersey retired in Florida by the Panthers. We were kind of talking about it in the last hour. I mean, does Bobby Lou get his jersey retired here? At some point, like, he meant so much to the franchise during, obviously, that period going up to the 2011 and obviously winning a gold medal here in Vancouver as well. But, I mean, does some of the off-ice stuff and, you know, my contract sucks, the salary cap recapture that's hitting the franchise now, does that all play into recognizing somebody, or does that all go away and do you just simply remember the good times on the ice?
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways you remember those things as his candor. You know, he was always respected for his humor, his honesty. I think, you know, there were times when, I mean, you give him the C, that tells you all you need to know. That's a really strange and wonderful compliment to Luongo. So no question, he was a heart and soul of the organization, and yeah, he deserves everything that's coming his way. I just remember going back to Don and I were in the airport. His mom used to work at Eastern Airlines in Montreal, and she was saying when he came into the NHL with the New York Islanders that he was upset that all the defense were so big. Zdeno Chara was an Islander, Eric Cairns, they had all these guys that were 6'5", and he said Roberto in his training camp was finding it hard to find pucks because their defense was so huge. But he obviously has forged a pretty special relationship with fans, and I think, you know, especially in Vancouver where everything is magnified, as it is in, I suppose, all the Canadian cities, but I feel like he really was very representative of an honesty in the way he approached the media and the life of a pro hockey player. It's kind of like Ken Dryden's The Game, but via Twitter.
Well, yeah, and you know,
Eric Brewer was part of that island. Like, and there's another guy. Like, he was 6'4".
Yes, they were huge that year. If you went back and looked.
Forget how many big guys there were. Pair.
Yeah, no, they. Yeah, that's how hockey was back then. I just think
and the
of
Islanders
this,
got rid of all of them.
Well, no, and you know what I was talking about the Islanders and Ron James and I were talking earlier, going, man, like, did you see John Tonelli's jersey was retired a week ago? And I think Butch Goring this week. What happened to the Islanders? We retiring them after 3 years in Vancouver. I think they waited 30 years to get to these guys, the glory guys of the '80s.
Butch Goring, you know why he chose number 91 is for Jackie Parker, the great Edmonton Eskimo.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's one of the first to wear 91. Geraldine Heaney on the women's side, and then Fedorov kind of made it a bigger number. Most of the guys wore it because 19s were retired around the NHL. But yeah, it's funny for Lou Lamoriello to do anything. It's funny. So for him to be on the marketing side, he's done a wonderful job with New York Islanders for sure.
Yeah, they will be here on Tuesday night, which are his Canucks. For Kids Telethon, by the way. Look for that on television on Tuesday. Brian Burke yesterday, when we were talking to him, we were asking about the salary cap and who will really benefit from it, and obviously those in a cup crash in the cap crunch. But he also said, hey, man, I would hang on to it, guys. With the coronavirus going on, I'm not so sure what we're going to see for the playoffs. Now, yesterday in San Jose, Santa Clara County kind of advised fans to stay away. Kind of thinking we might see something from a World Hockey Championships maybe being canceled. Where do you see this? I mean, do you think that possibility could come?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and Brian's right about that, and I know that with the Olympics in Japan, obviously in Tokyo, there's talk. One of the first preliminary discussions last week, and I don't know how far this went, but the idea was to seal off the country, host the Olympic Games, but not have spectators outside of locals. And there's even talk of, you know, no spectators, but there's two ways they are thinking about going at it if this escalates. One is no spectators at all and host the Olympics as a TV spectacle. Two is, well, first is postpone them. Second is TV spectacle. Third is to just bring in Japanese fans and not bring in any imports. So there's it's really serious in terms of people trying to figure it out at this point.
Yeah, certainly so. You saw the story, going back to the Islanders here for a second, we saw Johnny Boychuk's face, 90 stitches, Ron. Is that just, I mean, are these just moments, are these anomalies, or is this something that the league has to look at more going forward because it is so dangerous, right? I mean, it was, you know, Zach Cassian.
I don't know how you,
stop.
James, though, prevent that, right? Yeah. It's unique to hockey that the Blades are, you know, treacherous, but they always were. Boreas Salming, you remember the cut he received? Very similar. I don't know how many stitches Bory had, but I think it was in the neighborhood of 100. So it's hopefully it doesn't happen often, but you know, it's just other than full cages, that would be, you know, conceivably a safety net that they could consider. But
which I can't imagine the players ever wanting to sign off on the bird cage, right?
Right. It's so hard. If you've ever played with a cage, you really notice the difference. I even noticed a difference refereeing. I refereed semi-pro, the Colonial and United Leagues. Bruce Boudreau coached there and a number of others. But I didn't wear a visor when I did the semi-pro, but I wore a visor in amateur hockey in Canada. And I could tell that, you know, my senses were just diminished a smidge by a visor, just a smidge. But it felt like I was more alert and aware. It was more auditory than visual. You felt like you were feeling the game to a greater extent without the visor.
Speaking of your refereeing and the feel, the NHL announcing at the Board of Governors that they will introduce the new puck, you know, the tracking puck for the playoffs. Why would they wait till then? Like, do you think they're messing anything with that to go, okay, yeah, let's put this new puck in and it'll be better for TV coverage, but we'll start in the playoffs rather than playing it now? I don't know. Crosby and some of the guys have seen it, said there's no difference, but I think you find that strange to introduce something right here and there.
Well, I haven't given that thought. The one thing I hope is that, can the puck tell us if the puck's over the line?
Well, you'd hope we'd get there, right?
Or when it's contacting a stick at 4 feet. That's the one. I've always wished there was some kind of a telemetric way of determining if the puck was contacted with a high stick, because that's the most difficult call. But no, I have no qualms about when they introduce it. If it makes, you know, that seems like a good time as any, because it'll enhance the coverage of the Stanley Cup.
Hey, which Canadian team right now has the best shot of lifting up the Stanley Cup here this year?
Oh, I feel like they lost last night in Chicago, but for me, Edmonton is the outlier for sure. I think they've got a really nice team. I just think McDavid and Draisaitl, you know, the year they're having, you know, they're going to be hard to contain.
I like those deadline moves too, Ron.
What's that?
I like those deadline moves too.
Yes. Yeah, no, they look good. They've definitely bolstered the team. And you know, Ken Holland and Dave Tippett know what they're doing. It was a tough one last night, but you just can't win them all, especially the Chicago Blackhawks. I think they're a year away, but they're right back in the thick of it shortly.
So you'll be in Salmon Arm. Silverbacks have made it to the second round of the BC Hockey League. Andy Murray, one-time owner there. What else will we see this Sunday from the Okanagan?
Well, there's definitely the Silverbacks will be part of it. I mentioned I went houseboating with Curtis Lazar, was on board with me. So that's he grew up in that neck of the woods. So we do a nice little houseboat trip, Billie Jean King. We have a feature on Bev Smith, who was an Olympian and won a bronze medal in the World Championships in basketball and hails from Salmon Arm. And then just more grassroots storytelling as part of the telecast. But it'll be should be a really nice swing for us because we go from there to North Vancouver and then on up into Kyle Bukauskas' country, which is Campbell River. So we're into a nice BC run for hometown hockey.
Jeez, Kyle's got to be coming to that one.
Yeah, he is. He's going to do the opening essay, and he'll be, I don't know how we get him there from Saturday night, but if I can do it, he can be my escort.
Jeez, you're going to be second fiddle with that hair around. I'm
put
sure.
Him in, right. You can put him in cargo.
I'm looking forward to seeing Rod Brindamore's dad too, Bob. We had such fun together in the Nagano Olympics in 1998, and he was a great hockey player in both Campbell River and Prince Rupert. So, Bob and the Linda will be a part of the broadcast when we get to Campbell River.
What kind of shape is Bob in? He's 75 and a muscle and fitness guy. Because boy, Rod the Bod, man. Talk about understanding how to work out and keeping all there. And well, we're looking forward to your houseboarting trip.
Yes. Well, see you. We'll, you're welcome aboard. Permission to come aboard Sunday.
Be careful what you wish for, Ron, because we're fun at parties out there. Take care.
Okay. Thanks guys.
All right.